Good morning. I confess I'm a little bit nervous this morning. Today's sermon will cover Genesis chapters 1 through 3. It's a little bit of a daunting task, but the story has relationships in it which we will unfold. And that's the reason why there's such a large amount of sermon text. First, let's pray. Father, I come before you humbly to preach a sermon. Lord, I ask that you would help me to do well. I ask, Lord, that you would help those here to be able to receive your word, and ask, Lord, that you'd be glorified in it. Amen. Today's sermon is the story of all stories, the beginning of the story of all stories, the foundational story that makes sense of God's story in our stories, the story that helps us understand who we are and who we were created to be. I owe much of this sermon to Daryl Johnson, was Pastor Jason's professor on preaching. Throughout this sermon, the King James Version is used for its poetic style. And we will begin with the reading of Genesis chapter 1 through 2, verse 3. I'll be reading the entire chapter in its fullness. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that was creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every in which is the fruit of seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Not in the sermon, but just a point. There was no mention of he saw that it was good on the second day, which would be Monday. Thought I had to throw a little humor in there. And also, did you notice that there was no evening and morning end to the seventh day? The author of Genesis 1 was led to write the creation story not by deduction, but by the revealing work of the Creator. There is no way man could have deduced that creation was created by the Creator's spoken word. And the Creator narrates the creation story. The Creator creates creation out of nothing. The Hebrew word for create is bara, which means to make something from nothing, without analogy. And bara is only used when God creates something. When man makes something, the Hebrew word asah is used, which means it was something was made from something. The Creator creates creation by his spoken word, by command, let there be, seven times, followed by one, let us. The Creator creates in a divine way and time. In days 1 through 3, creation goes from formless to form. In days 4 through 6, creation goes from void to fullness. The Creator creates with structure and order, with boundaries and relationships, day, night, and seasons, seas and land, grass and trees, sea and land creatures, kind after their kind. The Creator creates a good creation. God saw it was good in order and relationship. There was nothing out of order or relationship. There was no corruption, no death. Creation was good. And then the Creator creates man in his image, a creature in his creation, in his image and likeness, and not by the command, let there be, but rather by the agreement in unison, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. The Creator creates man to show the rest of creation who the Creator is and what he is like. And God saw the creation of man was very good, not just good, but very good. Our culture is dying to know this level of understanding, that the universe is not an accident. You are not an accident. You are so much more than you know. You are created, are a creature created in the image, in the likeness of the Creator. Sorry for a little hesitation. As I preach, I get a little choked up. My eyes actually tear up a little bit. Makes it a little bit harder for me to see my sermon. I apologize. We were created to be God's representative in creation, to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to have dominion over every living thing on earth, to be his representatives under his authority as his ambassadors. And we were created to reflect God's nature and character, albeit a limited reflection of his nature and character. We are not and never will be completely like him. But we reflect the capacity to conceptualize, to create, to communicate, to categorize, to correspond, and to care for others. We reflect the capacity to discern and to decide, to make moral judgments. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us make man." We were made to reflect the usness of God. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim. It is a plural noun which is always used with a singular verb, a plurality with singular action. The God who created us is a God who speaks of himself as us. Within the one God, there is a plurality, a community, a coexistence, a cooperation, a fellowship. Although Genesis does not overtly speak of it, it opens the door to what we later understand as the Trinity. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. In the beginning, God created, the Spirit of God moved. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning, there was God, the Word, and the Spirit, a Trinity in relationship. We were made by God, who is a relationship, made in his image and likeness, to live in relationship with him and his creation. We can only truly know who we are in relationship to him and his creation. Our identity is in relationship to our Creator. We were created in his image, and we have the same four relationships that he has: a relationship with the earth, a relationship with others, a relationship with self, and a relationship with the living God. First, we were created for relationship with the earth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. The Hebrew word for man is Adam. And the Hebrew word for ground is Adama. Adam is made out of the Adama. We are a creature. We are a body. We don't have a body. We are a body in relationship, made from the earth. Our physical and spiritual life involves our body. Work, play, prayer, worship, serving. Second, we were created for relationship with others. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It is not good that the man should be alone. Seven times in chapter 1, we hear the refrain, creation was good, but then God made man, and it was very good. But now there is something that is not good. It is not good that man is alone. It's the first not good in Genesis. And though God created animals, which, like our pets, can alleviate some loneliness, Adam did not find a reflection of himself, a corresponding creature to comfort his loneliness. So God created woman. The Hebrew word for woman, the Hebrew word for helper is ezer, which means one who comes to the aid of someone in need. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Woman was not created for man to do whatever he wanted, but she was created for relationship with Adam because he needed someone to help and comfort his loneliness. So God took a rib from Adam's side and made woman to be Adam's companion, his counterpart in relationship. Third, we were created for relationship with self. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They had no shame with who they were. They had no need to create a self-image to hide behind for others to see. They were able to look at themselves, body, mind, heart, and soul, and say, I am beautifully and wonderfully made in the image of God. Fourth, we were created for relationship with God. None of the first three relationships function properly without our relationship with God. And two significant criteria emerge from that relationship: accountability and intimacy. First, accountability, because God made us, God has a right to set the rules and the agenda on how we are to live. The second, intimacy, because God made us. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God intimately made us by hand as a potter makes a pot. And God intimately made us a living soul by his breath into our nostrils. In summary, it was a very good fourfold relationship. Now, on to Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, and Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." God gave one command, only one rule: freely eat from all of the trees but one. Do not eat from that one tree, or else you will surely die. God did not prohibit something that was necessary for us to live. God gave us the prohibition for our good. God did not say, "I will punish you, I will make you die, or I will kill you." God simply said, "If you eat from this tree, I will not need to punish you. The natural consequences of eating from that tree is death. Sooner or later, you will die." God treated us as free, rational creatures. And God risked a very good creation to a creature with the capacity to choose, the capacity to make the wrong choice. And knowing it would be the coronation or the crucifixion of his creation, God bound himself to this relationship with man. God exposed himself to the possibility of being reviled, despised, denied, and ignored by man. This is the first glimpse in the Genesis story of God's tremendous love towards us, that he was willing to risk that. God's command did not give us a choice between good or evil. God's command did not give us a choice between knowledge or no knowledge. It was just one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. A tree that could provide independence, to not be dependent on someone else for guidance, to enjoy a life of independence, to be self-reliant, independence that children do not have, and an independence that the elderly lose. To summarize, God said, "Adam, I am your creator. I made you to be dependent on me for life. You are free, but don't use your freedom to be something more than you are, a dependent creature. You are not your own God. Adam, you be you, and I will be me. Do not try to be what I am. If you try to be independent like me, you will corrupt creation and you will die. God speaks this command to every moment, every day. Not try to live independent of me. You are dependent on me. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Keep in mind, the serpent is only a created creature. The serpent isolated the woman from Adam, and she was not able to stand alone against the serpent. No one can. Throughout God's word, the serpent is an enemy and hater of God. He is a liar, an accuser, a slanderer who speaks deceptively about God and twists his words to make us come to a false understanding of God and his. Again, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The serpent sounds knowledgeable about God and makes God sound very restrictive. But God actually said in Genesis 2, verse 16, of every tree of the garden mayest freely eat. Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, and the woman answered the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But God actually said, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. She left out freely. Why did she leave out freely? Did she question God's generosity? Was she suspicious of God? Genesis chapter 3. And the woman said unto the serpent, But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. But God said nothing about touching fruit. She added that restriction herself, and she left out sure death. Was she beginning to doubt God and his character? Is God good? Can I trust the God who made me? Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. What? The serpent speaks in direct, blatant contradiction to God's word. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God doth know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The serpent was saying, God does not want you to be independent like him. Now, what should she have said to the serpent? I trust my creator. I will live in total dependence on him. I will not live independently. I will not die alone. This is where I drop the mic. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 through 7. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They believed a lie. They chose independence. And yet became dependent on their own desires and drives with the knowledge of good and evil. Their relationship with God became corrupted. What was once a relationship of trust, delight, love, and intimacy became suspicion, doubt, fear, and guilt. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They were ashamed and tried to hide from God. But you can't hide from God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Their relationship with God was corrupted. In fear and shame, they try to simply hide from God. They do not admit their disobedience and turn to God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Their relationship with self was corrupted. In fear and shame, they tried to shift the blame on someone or something else, just like we do. Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 through 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we learn the serpent's seed, the devil, bruised Eve's seed, Jesus's heel, and Jesus bruised the devil's head on the cross. Ultimately, Jesus destroys the devil. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Their relationship with others was corrupted. The woman's desires are now in competition with her husband. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and from dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Their relationship with the earth was corrupted. The ground was cursed. Childbirth became painful. Life on earth was difficult. So much for independence. But God is full of grace. Even though life is difficult, the earth continues to yield its food. Babies continue to be born. Man and woman continue to care for each other. God's grace remains. He has not given up on us. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God's grace covered Adam and Eve's shame with animal skins. A living creature was sacrificed for their disobedience. Blood was shed to cover their sin. Now, finally, I'd like to jump to Genesis 4, verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Throughout God's word, story after story, God's redemptive grace is found and ultimately available to us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which covers our sin. I urge you, call out to God in loving dependence. The story of all stories, our story, a story of our relationship with creation and our Creator. Let us pray. Father, I ask that you would help us to cherish your word, to know who we are and who you are. Help us, Lord, to know you and your character, your grace and your love for us. Help us, Lord, to be honest with ourselves, to acknowledge that we are dependent on you for all things, and that you provide all things for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.